Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Sandy Park Club podcast. Welcome to another episode. Again, a reminder, Sandy Park Club podcast offers you the latest golf news, Sandy Park Club merchandise, local club tournament information, and showcases various guests and products of the golf industry. Don't forget to also check out our Western Gales head cover, one of one head cover. It's a hybrid head cover. If you haven't seen yet on the first episode of the podcast, check that out because that is still something we're going to give away. I'm thinking giving it away probably on our 10th episode. 10th
episode?
Yeah. So this is episode 6, so maybe 4 episodes away. We'll probably do a giveaway for that. So please, if you're following, please like, comment, subscribe. Tell your friends, your other golf buddies. Sure. We have this podcast. Support, please.
Download it if you don't have time to listen to it.
Live. Right, download right. It downloads help us a lot. So right. You're more than welcome to download this audio version of the podcast by going into whatever podcast platform you're using and downloading the actual episode. So definitely download the episode as well.
Please do.
We wanted to give a shout-out to our friends at the Golf Better app, and that's Golf BETTOR, which means it's a betting app. Me and Eli had the great opportunity to try this out this past weekend. And basically, it's a golf app that allows you to track your side bets for avid or recreational golfers. Mm-hmm. If you ever played skins, wolf, or just straight up stroke play against your golf buddies, Golf Better manages all the side bets all in one app. So you can even connect your GIN and have a handicap associated with your bets if you wanted to play using Golf Better. And you can also, which is a game changer in my opinion, is utilizing your Venmo account.
Nice.
So that, you know, if
it's
you
straight,
have...
It's just straight into your account.
Yeah, so it lets you process those payments without having to, you know, look for... You know, if you owe somebody $5.50, you know, you don't got, you know... that change on you, mm-hmm. you can just use your Venmo account. Right. Nice. So we're giving away a free 1-year subscription to using the Golf Better app. So we'll have more information on that to our listeners of this podcast and our viewers of this podcast as well. So look out for that. So we're going to be giving away a 1-year subscription to Golf Better app. And again, that's BETTOR, Golf Better.
There it is.
We'll have Eloy kind of get us down onto the latest PGA Tour stop information.
So our latest PGA Tour stop was the weekend of October 28th to October 31st. It was the Butterfield Bermuda Championship at the Port Royal Golf Course in Southampton Parish, Bermuda.
Wow.
Par 71, 6,842 yards.
So not over that 7,000.
Yeah, not over the 7,000. Kind of right. A little, you know... For us.
For us, something manageable.
Very manageable for us to play.
Right.
I mean, we'll never play them views
that
they were having.
Exactly.
It was looking nice out there.
Yeah, the course did look excellent. Bermuda.
Right.
I don't even know where that's at. I don't even know where...
It's kind of like in the Caribbean areas, I believe.
Okay. Not sure, but anybody that knows, let us know.
Right. I'm not very good in geography.
Yeah, not here either, but... Right. Just watching the golf tournament, the golf course did look immaculate.
It looked beautiful out there, right? So there are 500 FedEx points available to the winner and a 2022 Masters berth.
On the table. Wow. Beautiful. So excited to see who took the win.
Right, because whoever's there, they guaranteed in the Masters.
Right.
They guaranteed the spot to play.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. Quick message from our friends over at Rapsodo Golf. Rapsodo MLM mobile launch monitor. Get $50 off with our code TGM50. The link will be provided on the video version of this podcast on our YouTube video. It is a pro-level golf launch data monitor in the palm of your hands. Connect it to your iPhone, iPad, or Android phone and get data on your strengths and weaknesses of your golf game. So please check out Rapsodo MLM mobile launch monitor.
Be down in the description below.
Yes, it will.
Or that discount code. Day one recap. Leaders after day one are Brandon Hagee and Chad Ramney.
Don't know who they are. I have no idea who these guys are.
Not very familiar.
Right.
They're both at -6.
Sure.
Vincent Whaley is at second at -5. Danny Lee, Garrick Higo, Seamus Power.
Kiradek. Appy Barn Rat.
Appy Barn Rat. Yeah. David Skin.
AKA Arm. He goes by Arm on tour.
David Skins and Justin Lower are all tied for fourth at minus four. Mm, mm. Weather was a factor. The winds were strong, reaching up to 35 miles per hour. A golfer named Matt Fitzpatrick called the winds the hardest winds he's ever played in.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and Matt Fitz is from Europe. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's seen a lot of different...
Different kind of weather.
Yeah, there. Yeah.
To say that? Ooh.
Right. I mean, obviously, this is kind of one of the low level ended PGA Tour stops. We don't have too many of the high-ranking guys playing on this tour stop. Uh-huh. But regardless, some notable players that we've seen, Patrick Reed, Graham McDowell, again, Danny Lee, as you noted, Eloy, Jason Duffner are also some of the notable players also playing in this field. So excited to see them playing in this event. But again, some of these names we've never even heard of.
Right.
I think we heard of Ramney's name coming up a couple episodes times. Ago.
Yeah.
But shout out to you guys for being at the top of the leaderboard day one.
Right. Also, round one was suspended early due to darkness.
Oh, yeah. So great.
They couldn't even finish the round.
They couldn't even finish the round. So they had to go out day two early in the morning to finish a few to finish. Wow.
They suspended it because of the weather.
Right.
So then obviously they couldn't finish it because now it was just too dark to play.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So some of them ended up finishing, you know, the next day.
Right.
So day two recap. Our leader after round two was Taylor Pendrith of Canada at minus 11. Again, another
name. Then their name.
Patrick Rogers is in second at minus 10, and Vincent Whaley is now in third at minus 9.
Mm-hmm.
Pendrith, who was recently married, congratulations.
Hey, shout out to you. Congratulations.
I believe he got married a week before the tournament.
Wow.
He did. He got married a week before the tournament, had his honeymoon for a week, and then now the following week he's playing here in Bermuda.
Hey, man. Shout out to you. Shout making out, all man. Of that happen before a golf tournament.
Before a golf tournament, hey, right.
The grind is real out there, fellas.
The grind is real for him.
Yeah.
He had 5 straight birdies to shoot to the top of the leaderboard, and this is also his rookie year on the PGA
Tour. Oh, wow, wow. So congratulations to making it on a tour stop here, Taylor.
Right. And then the cut was at even par, so only 75 players were able to advance after two rounds.
Wow.
So even par was a cutoff.
Jesus, so that means that the guys were shooting low. To be at even par.
To be at even par, yeah. They were shooting very low.
Right. Yeah, so as you can see, 6,800 yards is pretty gettable for most of these guys. Some other notable players that played well day two, Patrick Rogers. Luke Donald, former number one, was up there on the leaderboard. Camilo Villegas, a name that we haven't heard on and off. I know that I think 2 years ago, he lost his card and it came back. And is trying to make his name back onto the tour. So shout out to Camilo La Araña, the spider, if you guys remember him, the Jay Lindbergh days. If I'm messing this name up, and I'm sorry because I don't know you or know how to say your name that well, Jim Canas. Was one of the rookies, I think, also playing this event. He needed to make the cut. He was recently on a medical exemption, so he needed to make the cut to continue to play, and he did make the cut.
Oh, nice.
So shout out to Jim Canas for making the cut. Again, shout out to Taylor Pendrith from Canada, playing well on day two. And yeah, excited for all of these new names that we've never heard.
Lots of new names.
A lot of new names that we've never heard on tour.
You don't hear them very often.
Correct.
Or at all.
But I think tournaments like this kind of give them that light that they need to, you know.
Definitely.
You get those names that you don't hear too often, but, you know, they may win the event or they may place top five and, you know, they may make it to another event. Then you start hearing their name. Like, again, the, Chad Ramney. This is the second time I've heard your name in the last 6 weeks.
Right.
So you're doing something great.
Really great.
Right. Quick message from our friends over at Chippo Golf. Get 15% off a Chippo Golf set by using my code TinkerGolfMan. The link will be found in the description of the video version of this audio podcast. So visit TinkerGolfMan on YouTube. So that's youtube.com/TinkerGolfMan. And use the discount code ChippoGolf. The discount code TinkerGolfMan for a 15% off Chippo Golf set. Yeah. So play a unique game of chipping at home, at your barbecue, beach, or outing with family and friends. Again, we've been talking about this Chipo Golf set for almost every episode, but mm-hmm. check it out. It's a fun game that you can play pretty much anywhere, and you get these two wonderful plastic boards that you can play with your friends, play with the kids, mm-hmm. and practice your chipping, because you know we all need it.
Right, practice your chipping. It's the golf version of cornhole.
Right, right.
So if you got a wedge, it comes with some balls, comes with a little mat, and you're able to play a round of a chip.
Right.
Chipo.
Right. And it's fun. It's really fun.
It's fun.
Right. And we're not just talking out of our butts about it. It's really fun.
You can take it anywhere.
Correct.
You can play it anywhere. And it's, you can, one, work on your game, two, have fun at the same time.
Right. Right. For sure. So we're looking at day three now.
Day three recap. Leader after round three is still Taylor Pendrith mm-hmm. at minus 17.
So holding strong up there.
Holding strong, right? Yep. Danny Lee right behind him at minus 14. And Lucas Herbert in third at minus 13.
Mm, another new name that I haven't heard.
New names.
Yes, new names. So some other notable players. Day three, Patrick Rogers trying to make his way up the leaderboard. Again, we just heard Danny Lee also making his way up the leaderboard. And if I'm not mistaken, I mean, he held pretty strong on day three and was almost there at the end of the tournament. Peter Malnati also making a good run on day three. 16-hole Taylor Pendrith makes a 50-foot birdie on hole 16. And there was only four recorded birdies of the round that day.
Wow.
So great putt
for
50 feet. And if you're one of the four that made that birdie, it was a tough hole. From what I was watching, it was super windy, so it wasn't easy to hold that green.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, congratulations to Taylor Pendrith for continuing to hold down that lead.
Hold it down.
Yes, sir.
So day four recap.
Yep.
Now we have our winner of the Bermuda Championship is Lucas Herbert at minus 15. Danny Lee and Patrick Reed tied for second at minus 14.
Wow. So.
So another new name.
Well, Lucas from day three.
From day three, right. Yeah. He was at minus 13, ended up winning at minus 15.
Wow.
So.
So tough day.
Tough day.
Just to get two shots better than your previous round,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or two shots better than your previous round, but to add up to it. But and Danny Lee and Patrick were only a shot behind.
They were only a shot behind.
Wow. So yeah, shows you how hard that last day was playing.
It was tough.
So Patrick, he was out there back and forth. I was watching some of the highlights and mm-hmm. He was back and forth. But he was trying to make his way to another win from his latest win at Torrey Pines at the beginning of the year at Farmers. So one shot short, but I'm pretty sure you're going to be back on the leaderboard in coming weeks.
Right.
Along with Danny Lee. Danny Lee, we haven't heard his name too much being spoken of recently, but another guy that I would say was one of my few dark horses on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Danny Lee. He did double bogey, kind of putting him out the lead earlier in the round. So I think that's kind of what kind of had the hiccup for him.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, congratulations to Lucas Herbert for winning the Bermuda Championship.
Butterfield Bermuda Championship.
Yeah. It reminds me of, I don't know if you ever played it, but there's a golf course out here. I forget. I think it's in Chino called Butterfield Stage.
Nah, I don't think I've ever played that one.
Yeah, I played that one a couple months ago. It's a decent track. It's kind of getting worn down, but never heard of a tournament that had the golf course having the word Butterfield in it. So congratulations again to Lucas Herbert. Yeah.
Yep.
So quick message from our friends over at TaylorMade. We trust buying from TaylorMadeGolf.com. If you're listening to this podcast, head over to the video description. Or Tinker Golf Man's YouTube channel, where you can shop TaylorMade's latest golf products, offerings, and build loyalty points to get discounted or free TaylorMade products on future purchases. So check out TaylorMadeGolf.com. And we'll be right back.
Become part of Team TaylorMade.
Become part of Team TaylorMade and build those loyalty points. Get some discounted or free stuff in future purchases.
Right.
Upcoming on the channel, we have a great interview with our great friend Eric Frazetta, who is the new head coach of Names University, Holy Names University in Oakland, California. We have a great interview from him, kind of talking about his college and golf experiences as a competitor and as a golf coach in the college ranks. Hey guys, welcome back to the Sandy Park Club podcast. We have a wonderful guest today. We have our great friend Eric. Eric, and I don't want to butcher your last name here, Frazetta. Yeah, we have our great friend Eric Frazetta, originally from Long Beach, California. Attended and played golf with my co-host Eloy at the Powerhouse High School at Long Beach Polytechnic. Eric attended Chico State from 2008-2012, where he was a two-time All-American and a two-time Academic All-American his junior and senior year. Eric has professionally played on various mini tours around the world, including the McKenzie Tour in Canada and as well as the China Tour in 2015. And in 2018-2020, Eric helped Sonoma State to consecutive NCAA National Championship berths as the men's golf assistant coach. And now in 2021 of August, Eric recently is now has been hired now as the head coach of the men and women's golf team at Holy Names University in Oakland, California.
Welcome, Eric.
You have a full-rounded resume in the golf world.
You are a busy man.
Yeah, you are a busy man.
Since you played high school golf, you have been very busy.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do something special in the world.
Right, hey, right.
Man, them accolades though. Whew,
yeah.
Everything but PGA, I see.
I know. But it has to be good reason for it. I mean, I think, you know, Eric, you said you spent some time on the McKenzie Tour and on the China Tour as well. How was that experience for you, kind of going and playing in those two tours?
Yeah, I had a great time. I wouldn't trade it in for anything. You know, just getting out and seeing other cultures. Like, I flew into Beijing, went to Shanghai and Wuhan mm-hmm. City and in China, and it was, you know, places I probably wouldn't have traveled to golf
right.
early in my life. And then Canada was amazing. Everybody up there was so friendly, especially mm-hmm. compared to the U.S.
of course.
But no, it was an amazing experience. You know, golf taking me all over the world, so I'm pretty blessed to have that opportunity.
Right. Well, definitely congratulations on all of that you've accomplished here.
And then what made you go to Sonoma to be an assistant head coach?
Yeah, so kind of a funny story. I was actually still playing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of like towards the end of my career. I was kind of like debating whether I should keep going or not.
Sure.
And my girlfriend at the time and now wife.
All right. Congratulations. I saw that. Congrats. You did just Thank recently you. Get married.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, congratulations.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Yeah, so she lived in Sonoma, and I was visiting her and practicing on 4th of July during for a couple hours. And the coach at Sonoma State saw me out there, and he's like, "We have a position open as an assistant potentially if you're interested." Because I was telling
right.
him I was probably going to move up to Sonoma eventually.
Oh wow!
So it was just kind of, you know, right place, right time.
Oh
wow!
Nice.
That is wonderful to hear. Yeah, that's interesting because I mean, a lot of people, at least from the golfing world, it's, you know, you have your PGA professional instructors, but coming from the competitive side of things and taking a career path into the coaching world, it's rarely heard, at least coming from, you know, especially somebody like your stature where you played on the tour, on the McKenzie and the China Tour, and you know, wanted to continue to play potentially, right?
All right.
Well, just going to get into just a few questions. You know, you can answer them if you don't want to. Just let us know you don't want to. But it's nothing. We're not gonna ask nothing crazy or anything. Just simple questions. Like simple as, what made you want to play golf, and how long have you been playing golf?
Yes. So I started when I was 10 years old. My grandpa took me out. He's the only one in my family that ever played golf.
Wow.
And he took me out to the driving range one time at Hartwell.
Wow.
I just fell in love with it. I don't really know why.
Sure.
As a kid,
right?
It was basketball first love.
Right.
I didn't really grow, so that dream kind of died.
Hey, height is not everything in golf. I mean, you got your tiny guys that are smashing a ball 350 yards out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I gravitated towards golf. It's there's always a challenge ahead of you. I started out kind of naturally, I get the ball in the air right away, so I think that helped.
There you go.
And then I just kind of ran with it from there. I fell in love with the challenge that it presented. You never can get too good at golf.
Right.
You could spend hours hitting all kinds of different shots.
Right.
You know, learning how to fend for yourself, basically.
Right, right. That's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy story. Hey.
I thought maybe your whole family played golf or something, and that's why you got into it. No, it's just your grandpa, huh?
Just my grandpa. My brother got into it. He's 4 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of just followed me into playing golf.
Wow.
But he was nowhere near as dedicated as I was. He was more talented, probably. But he just didn't have the drive. He wanted to do other things.
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, man, but props to you for holding on. And I mean, have you been to Hartwell as of recent, or it's been some time?
It's been some time.
Yeah.
But I know I saw that you were out at the Skins game, I think, or something like that. But if they still have that at Hartwell.
The Wednesday one?
They do still have
them. Yeah, it's still out here. And then these guys are still making that money out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Pots are pretty big right now.
Yeah, pots are big. But I will tell you that it's, you know the area. I mean, Hartwell is one of the very few golf courses that stays late out here in Long Beach. So it is packed every night. And guys are waiting, 30 minutes to almost a full hour of just standby time, just trying to get a stall now.
Right.
Yeah, so we're very limited in range time, especially when everybody wants to get off work and use the range. But Hartwell is a powerhouse still.
That's good.
Yeah. Eric, are you part of your guys' team's what is the process for someone, would you say, that attends high school and transition into college golf and trying to come into your program? And I guess my follow-up question to that is, are you part of your recruitment process at Holy Names? And if so, what are you looking for in upcoming golfers that are trying to come out to Holy Name?
Yeah, so I basically do all the recruiting at Holy Names right now. So I'm basically the main person. And I actually just went to watch a junior this weekend.
Wow, nice.
Like at Silverado. So it's, I kind of look, everyone's good player. Everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at how they keep their composure on the golf course.
Right.
What their thought process is from what I can see, at least, like they're every green short-sighted.
Right.
Usually not a good sign.
Right.
But, and, you know.
So basically you wouldn't be recruiting me or Eloy anytime soon.
we got to walk on spots available.
Right. There you go.
Walk right off.
Right.
how they interact with their parents is a big deal.
Sure. Okay.
You're looking for kids who are coachable.
Sure.
Who will... can take criticism without, being defensive all the time.
Right, right.
And then you're just looking for kids who kind of show a passion that are they're self-motivated, because that's a big part. Like, I can only spend during season 20 hours with an individual.
Okay.
For the whole season, like every day every week during the season.
So right, right.
There's a lot of times where you're going to be on your own.
Right.
As you talk to people, you kind of realize, hey, this kid's really self-motivated. He wants to get better. You can tell the kids that are naturally talented that aren't practicing as hard, but they're really gifted. It's tough when they go to college for the first time and, they're on their own for the first time.
For the first time,
really
yeah.
Telling them
right.
What to do. So you really can tell who grows from that situation is kind of all in on golf and the ones who are ready to just explore life and figure out their way.
Right. And I'm not too familiar here, Eric, but how many golfers do you guys have on each on the college side? Because I'm not familiar, but how many kids do you guys have playing for you?
Yeah, so this year we have a bigger team at Holy Names. We had 14 on the guys' side.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And 10 on the women.
Okay.
My ideal would be somewhere between 10 and 12, just because it's, especially right now, because it's getting difficult to get tee times for four groups or five groups.
you don't gotta tell.
Man, we already know.
Here down back at home in Long Beach, it's a hard ass to get a tee time as a single or even with just a couple buddies. So
right.
we feel your pain, man.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of where we'll be, I think 10 to 12 range.
10 to 12, okay. And from across the country, or are they kind of all more localized closer to you guys, or how does that work in terms of finding your guys' prospects?
I look everywhere,
Sure.
anywhere. Right now, I came into the team, and it's about half and half international, and then half, domestic
Oh,
kids
wow.
from
Cool.
the. There's only a few that are actually from the area. There's a couple from Davis, and
Right.
a couple from the Oakland area.
Wow.
But because we're kind of a small private school,
Right.
we can. There's more opportunities for internationals to come in, and
Right. That is
so
great to hear.
it's kind
Wow.
of neat. You get
Yeah.
to, experience a lot of different personalities and
Sure.
cultures, and it's a good experience for everyone, I think.
Okay,
Okay,
okay.
cool.
So we talked about how you became the head coach or assistant coach and the head coach, but is there like a status you need to become a head coach? Like, is there like you have to play on the tour, you have to, hold a certain rank? Is
Yeah.
that what it is?
Not necessarily. It's kind of one of the, I mean, a lot of the jobs want you to have some experience
Of course,
with,
of course.
coaching or teaching or, playing as a some it's a kind of depends on the school. Some schools the athletic director values professional experience.
Right.
Some is more looking for, a teaching professional who is good with developing programs or kids or
Right.
athletes. It just kind of depends on which situation you kind of go into.
Right.
I know like master's degrees are kind of preferred, but not necessarily required.
Required, right.
There's no real, I guess you could
Status.
say, like, you don't need to be a PGA pro, or
Right.
you don't need to have played before, as long as they feel like you're going to bring value to the program.
To the program,
Okay.
sure. Well, that's a good, yeah, I mean,
Man, it makes sense,
makes
right?
sense. As long as you can do your
Okay,
job
probably.
efficiently,
Right,
correctly,
right, right. Yeah. So
get some wins.
now as a coach of Holy Names, what does a day of work look like for you?
Yeah,
Like during the
so
season?
yeah, during the system, if
Whip
we
the
don't
kids
have
up to
some,
shape.
yeah, if we don't have a tournament, I'll get up Monday morning at usually 5, 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then we have practice at 6:30, 7 in the morning. We usually playing 9 holes Monday, Wednesday mornings.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we on Tuesday, Thursdays we'll have workouts in the morning from, six to seven for the men and 7 to 8 for the women.
Okay.
And then we'll have practice on Tuesday, Thursdays for just a couple hours. And then Friday afternoons we'll try to go play as many holes as we can get in, basically.
Right.
And
Whew.
then if we're traveling on
Right.
tournament week, we usually leave Sunday morning early. Travel, play our practice round. Monday for the guys, they'll play 36 holes, and then they'll play 18 on Tuesday, and then we'll come straight back home. Or
Ooh.
for the women, we'll just play practice round Sunday, 18-18 on Monday, Tuesday, and then come home.
I come
So
home.
it's fast-paced. It's
Yeah,
constantly
yeah.
you're
So everybody
moving
listening out
constantly.
there, a lot of golf.
A lot of
A lot
golf.
of
It's a lot
golf,
of
and you
golf and
gotta grind
home.
hard.
Right.
You have to want to be a collegiate athlete if you're
Right.
going to play.
It's not
Yeah.
kind
Yeah.
of just like, oh, I'm going to play golf just to play golf in college.
Right. Yeah.
This is real dedication where you
Yeah.
have to, what's it called? And it brings up back to Brian Europe that we talked
Yeah,
to.
yeah.
He is a college golfer, a collegiate golfer, and he was saying that it's pretty busy.
Right. The
It's
schedule
different
is
from high school
not as
golf.
leisurely as it may look like.
Right. Right.
Just because golf is
Yeah.
involved, there's a lot more to it. So I think that's definitely a great takeaway is that, especially being a collegiate athlete, there's way more involved than just going to play 18 or even practicing for an hour. There's a lot more involved to it, right? So
Right.
I believe it. Eric, do you have any coaching philosophies or anything that you kind of impose upon the students coming into your program?
I'm a big on just communication.
Okay, sure.
I want us to be transparent with each other. If there's a problem, I want them to bring it up. If they like something, I want them to let me know
so right.
we can keep building.
Right.
I'm trying to learn to, on the fly, just like they're trying to learn from me.
Right.
You know, there's. I'm not trying to run a dictatorship for the most part. I'm I want us all to kind of be a family. You
could sure.
say. We're hanging out off the golf course, especially at this level. You know, you're meeting people that you could be friends with for life.
Right, and right.
That's your teammate, basically, like your fraternity or your sorority.
Right, right.
You're gonna know these people forever, and you're gonna have memories with them.
Right.
So I think that's a big aspect. And then, you know, just being able to reflect, that's a big part
right.
of being a collegiate athlete, is just reflecting on your experiences and what you can take away from, you know, your failures, but they're not really failures if you're actually learning something from what happened.
Sure.
So it's just, you know, building good habits to be successful, you got to just keep putting one brick at a time, one brick at a time, and then eventually the results will follow.
Right.
You're not kind of looking too ahead.
Right, right.
Okay. So you're the head coach for the men's team and the women's team, right, at Holy Names?
Yes.
The seasons, are they the same time or are they different?
Same time, wow.
Okay,
same
so time. And then you did mention... For the men's, you play 36 and then you play 18. And for the women, yes. it's just 18-18, right?
Yes.
So what other difference is there for practices for them? Like you say, okay, on Monday and Wednesdays, you guys golf 9 in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys work out Tuesdays, Thursdays. As for your workouts, are you working out the women the same you are with the men? Or are you changing it up for the women?
Actually, we keep it pretty much the same. Same basic movements, at least.
Right.
The weight might be a little bit different.
Sure.
But other than that, everyone's kind of equal.
Right.
And putting in the set, we'll do the same drills with, you know, the women as the men.
Okay.
But like individually, there might be a few different aspects of how you communicate. I think that's one of the big things is. Just how you communicate with the women's team and the team could
right.
be a little bit different. And that's kind of different with everybody. Everyone kind of has their own way of learning.
Right.
So just trying to figure out how is best to, you know, communicate with that student athlete during that time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, makes sense.
Eric, what are some challenges of being a coach at a university? Probably a lot. Maybe some top level ones that you can just kind of rub off real quick.
Yeah, well, I know being in Oakland, there's not always a lot of availability at golf courses.
Sure.
Because, I mean, it's a big city and
right.
practice access is kind of limited.
Sure.
You know, we're not Stanford or
right.
their own golf course.
Right.
We have little resources, so
sure.
that's always a big hurdle. But, I mean, that's basically anything.
Right.
You know, it's just sometimes... things can go a little bit slower than you'd like.
Right.
Things push through the system.
Right.
But then again, you know, they're also trying to run run a school.
Sure,
that's
sure.
only focused on
one
athletics.
Right, right.
And specifically the golf team.
Sure. Totally understand.
Makes sense, yeah. What milestones have you reached either as a coach and or a golfer?
We named a couple already from...
Right, you named quite a few.
Yeah, we have a couple on the resume.
Being such a new coach,
yeah.
What would you like to achieve as a coach?
I'm just big on being competitive.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if my teams could just every tournament just kind of be in the hunt and being competitive, whether we pull it off at the end is... kind of irrelevant because I feel like if you keep putting yourself there, eventually it's going to happen.
Right.
But just being in the mindset that, you know, we're never giving up. We're putting in all the effort. We're sacrificing to get where we want to be. If they can, or if I can have teams that are just doing that and they you know, they have each other's backs when we're out there.
Right.
Not that it's like football where you can like tag your person right next to you and you guys are holding the line
right
the quarterback. But at the same time, like at your school, you never know what's happening in front of you or behind you. So, you know, I think a big thing is just never giving up, and then eventually, I mean, I would love to win a national championship.
Oh yeah, player, for sure.
Of course.
As a player,
that was the answer I was looking for.
As a player, we finished second, or as I was a player at Chico, we finished second and third. So I'd love to get the win.
Right, of course, definitely.
There it is.
And Eric, do you still compete currently, or is that off of the table as of where you're at right now in your career?
I'll play a scramble every now and then.
Sure.
No, I don't play very much other than, you know, with my friends, or honestly, I haven't really played much golf. I've just been running around.
Right. Being a coach, as you should be.
Trying to help them get to
it. Right, exactly.
They can be.
You have your light. You had your light. Now it's their light to shine, right?
Exactly.
Being that you played around the world, what's your favorite golf course, either local or international? And what is your best round of golf that you've played?
Yeah. Favorite golf course? That's a tough one.
Because you've played many.
You know, I used to caddy at Riviera for...
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow, did you? Nice.
And Riviera is kind of top of my list. Cypress Point was
ooh, haven't also been there either. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I do the marketing for Tiger's event when we have Genesis come around, and I've yet to play the golf course. So yeah, all my coworkers hooked me up one time.
it's a good track. It's a treat.
Yeah.
A treat to play. It's
definitely.
What is your best round of golf that you've had?
Best round of golf. I was always more of a tournament player. Mm-hmm. All my best rounds were in tournaments. I mean, that's a good thing.
No, that's right, a great thing. Yeah.
I had probably my favorite round of golf was at the Wyoming Open. It's like a small event.
Okay.
At Airport Golf Course in Wyoming. And I shot 61 in the first round.
Ooh, there you go.
So that was.
Yeah. 59 watch on your head, maybe, while playing.
Yeah. I shot 61 a couple times. One at Brookside and by the Rose Bowl.
By the Rose Bowl, yeah. Yeah, we still play events out there.
Yeah, so
61.
Yeah.
I gave a 61 on the front nine.
Yeah, we haven't sniffed a six in front of our scores in quite some long time.
Nah. Never.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a highlight for sure.
For sure.
That's nice.
Eric, a lot of our audience always wants to talk about equipment. What current equipment are you playing, and you know, what equipment have you been playing, if you're one of the guys that likes to use older equipment and not need to rush to go get the latest and greatest?
Yeah, I've never been one to, you know, go get the newest driver.
Sure.
Or anything like that.
Sure.
I trust what I have.
Right.
But I've been using, you know, TaylorMade wood. Now I have the Epic Flash driver.
Okay, Callaway, right.
Callaway.
Right.
I actually have an old R15 hybrid.
Ooh,
from TaylorMade.
There you go.
And the AeroBurner 3-wood.
Okay, yeah. So, which is not that far off. That's just a couple years off. You're not that far off.
Not that far.
No, not at all.
And I have Strixon irons.
Okay.
In my opinion, some of the best irons I've ever played.
Yes. And I will say highly underrated for a lot of people. I mean, they don't
very
give them a second
underrated
look. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of guys don't give them a second look, but and then wedges, anything different there? Putter.
Just Cleveland.
Cleveland, yep.
Putter is, I have a like Odyssey number 7.
Okay. Cool.
And I've had that thing since 2014.
Okay.
Nothing.
There you
changed.
Go. Hey.
Don't worry.
Don't
I'm still rocking those irons you gave me, Eric. I'm still rocking them.
Go. Oh, is those are from Eric? Okay, yeah. He still brings those out. He still brings those out.
Eric's the one who actually handed me down those clubs. I recently got them re-gripped.
Yeah.
But I'm still using them.
He's still
I'm
using
still
them.
I'm thankful for them. That's all I'm using on the course, man. I'm like.
I've been a Cleveland supporter basically my whole junior career. And
sure.
College, so.
Right, right. Current golf ball you're playing, or are you still using the same one from years back?
Pro V1.
I'm playing the just the new Pro V1X.
There you go. Everybody, I think everybody on your level of golf is still playing
Pro V1. V1X. Yeah. Us down here, we play, you know,
what we can get our hands on.
Well, ours has the, you know, we have the Hawk logo on it from
school. Oh, there you go. So hey, if you're getting those from the school, why not?
Why not?
Take advantage of it.
Why not? Okay. And we'd like to end the podcast or the interview in the podcast with a little words of wisdom. It doesn't have to be golf related, something that you've either heard or you live by, that you can share with our audience.
A motto I kind of always live by is, you don't grind, you don't shine, you don't eat.
Grind, you don't shine. Grind. That's a beautiful
you don't
one
work,
there.
You don't eat.
Right,
right. Right, right. Hey, so that's a few.
That's kind of what my motto has always been. It's from that. It's actually from a rap song, I think, from like
hey.
High school or something. But
anything that resonates with you to, you know, let anybody know a piece of, you know, what you believe in, it works. So,
It works.
Well, there, guys. I think you guys have heard it first from Eric Frazetta. That concludes our interview with Eric. Eric, again, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And if you want to see Eric or you have some wonderful golf swings that you recorded and you want to play for his team, check him out at Holy Names University. Thank you so much, Eric, for your time. And we'll be right back. Time, we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Again, thank you again, Eric, for your time.
Thank you,
and
thank you, Eric.
Giving us the insight of your college career and now being the new head coach, for both the men's and the
women's
golf team out at Holy Names University out in Oakland, California. So check out Eric. He's a wonderful guy and has a lot of golf knowledge to provide you guys if you ever want. If you're an upcoming golfer, check him out at Holy Names University.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our next PGA Tour stop coming this week.
This week, our next major tournament is November 4th to November 7th. It is the Worldwide Technology Championship at
Mayakoba
in El
Chameleon Golf Club.
Chameleon Golf Club in the Mayakoba Resort in Playa del Carmen, Mexico.
Yeah.
Par 71, 7,017 yards.
Wow. So I think they've played a couple of events.
A couple of events here in the past.
Yeah. The golf course name sounds very familiar.
I didn't get too much on the course, but it looks nice.
Yeah,
it looks nice.
I would say anything that's resort that has a resort name probably gonna be nice.
Right, it's more likely gonna be nice. Right, you're right.
We'll have more updates on all of that stuff coming next week for the Worldwide Technology Championship at Mayakoba.
Yes, sir.
And then we still have, upcoming,
the match. Yep. Brooks Koepka versus Bryson DeChambeau, you know.
What team are you?
Let us know. Team Koepka, Team DeChambeau.
Right.
The 12-hole match on November 26th at the Wynn Golf Club
in Las Vegas. Yeah. So we're excited to see that. Mm-hmm. Another rendition of the match.
Right. This is the 2021 version of the match.
Right. So we're excited to see that. Again, that concludes our episode of this podcast. Yes, again, sir, please don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, hit all the buttons. We need your support as we want to continue creating this great content for you guys. And check us out again on all streaming podcast platforms, on the YouTube channel, or by joining our membership platform if you're local to the greater LA area, greater Long Beach area, greater Orange County area, where we host monthly golf tournaments for Sandy Park Club.
Sandy Park Club, baby.
Yes, sir. And again, we still have available products on our website. If you ever want to buy our latest merchandise, please check out sandyparkclub.com.
Yes, sir.
And our motto here at Sandy Park Club is never golf alone. So check us out, sandyparkclub.com, and we will catch